Wait, are you gaming? On a Chromebook?
Yep. It's got a high-res 120Hz display, plus this killer RGB keyboard. And I can access thousands of games anytime, anywhere.
Stop playing.
What?
Get out of here.
Huh?
Yeah, I want you to stop playing and get out of here so I can game on that Chromebook.
Got it.
Go ahead, break it down real low. Discover the ultimate cloud gaming machine, a new kind of Chromebook.
Thanks to BetterHelp for supporting The Instance. For 10% off your first month, go to betterhelp.com/instance. Start living a better life today. A whole new world. Hello, everybody. Welcome to The Instance. This is The Instance for October 1st, 2021. Brand new month. Hello, everybody, and welcome to episode 651. I'm Scott Johnson with Jocelyn Kearney. Hello. How you doing over there?
I'm pretty good. That song has been stuck in my head for a week because of this freaking game.
I know.
So I'm so glad you stuck it at the top of the show.
Yeah. Well, I have to give credit to Garrett because he put the GIF in our thing and I went, oh, I should probably clip that and then put it in the deal.
I am surprised to say I haven't seen anyone make that joke. And I just now thought of it, putting that GIF in.
Well,
it's like, let me put it in a new world. What comes up for new world on GIF? And I'm like, oh my God, Aladdin, how is this not the most pervasive joke all week?
It should be. Instead, people are too mad about queue times. They don't have time for jokes and memes.
Yeah, nobody's joking.
Yeah.
I can show you the world.
I need
shining,
people to
shimmering queue times.
That's right. Oh, geez, you really emphasized that weird whiny voice that singer had. Well done.
Disney movie.
I really did think that there would be a week full of fun memes, and instead, it's mostly grumpy people or people who are playing and having a good time. We'll get to all of that because today is some pretty massive coverage of New World, its launch, how it's going, how it might go, and what we think the future looks like for this brand new, fresh MMO just right off the starting line. So we'll talk about all of that in a second. But first, I wanted to get this out of the way. There was an update in the controversial world of Activision Blizzard discrimination lawsuit business, and I thought it might be worth bringing up here. Activision Blizzard settled their discrimination lawsuit for a fraction of its yearly earnings, basically $18 million. Now, you and I and the three of us are going to go, wow, $18 million. I could sure do a lot with $18 million.
I want to butt in here and say it's really important to note that this is not the same discrimination lawsuit that started this whole
Right. This isn't the state one, the California one.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
This is from the EEOC, and apparently they've been investigating them since 2018.
Yeah. It's been a bit. It's been everything bad has happened since Diablo Immortal was announced on stage. Anyway, I'm not saying there's a connection, but maybe I am. Maybe I am saying there's a connection. Anyway, no, I'm not really. But what
I
am saying.
You should make YouTube thumbnails.
There you go. I'm going to do it. With the outlines around everybody and giant shocked faces, and I'm excited about my new career. Anyway, here's the deal. They settled that particular case for $18 million. Nobody's happy about it, and here's the reason. That's less than 0.5% of Activision Blizzard's total 2020 revenue alone. I did some math. Let's say you're just some schlub. Not schlub, or, you know, plenty of people are in this tax bracket, but let's say you make $50,000 a year. This would be like you being charged $150 for your misdeeds. It's pretty paltry and lame in the larger scheme of things, but you know how it is. $18 million looks like a lot of money. It feels like maybe it's barely a slap on the wrist when you're not even a 0.5 percentile of your entire earnings. But anyway, any thoughts or feelings? I mean, this seems like it's not over. Like there's still plenty more to go. I haven't heard a single employee who's been happy about this news. So I feel like this is not a this isn't anything that pushes any of the real change forward, but I don't know. Thoughts, feelings? No.
Well, I mean, I'm definitely in that bracket of people who looked at this at first and went, 18 million, that seems like so much. And I'm like, oh, that's so much to me personally. I could not pay $18 million. But then when I look at Activision Blizzard, I'm like, oh, that's not very much. Yeah. But from what I understand, and I'm sure, Gary, with your Nexus Gaming news stuff, you've probably dove like way further into this and have a better understanding than I do. But from what I understand, it's basically a figure that's capped, that's like based on the number of employees they're representing. And this was a much smaller, more focused lawsuit than the California lawsuit. So they kind of like, they were charged the maximum that they could be in this specific legal case.
Mm. That's my understanding as well. You did a very good job breaking that down. Yeah, I too. I haven't dug too deep into this one yet. We haven't done an episode on this.
Right.
This one specific thing. If you follow me on Twitter, I literally had to make an infographic for myself to keep track of all of the different acronyms for government bodies that are involved in some sort of investigation or lawsuit with Activision Blizzard.
They're really starting to stack up, aren't they?
Yeah, EEOC is one of four right now. And 2 weeks ago on Nexus Gaming News, Kyle actually noticed that there was a report by Dot Esports back in 2019, I think, mentioning that somehow it leaked out that EEOC was investigating them. But now that the lawsuit is out and now that there's a settlement, we now know that this dates all the way back to frickin' 2018. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, there's a lot to unpack there. But yeah, this is not the California Department of Fair Employment and Housing, the DEFEH lawsuit. Right. That dropped in July of this year, which really kind of blew this all up and kind of started the scrutiny at least in the public eye of Activision Blizzard.
Yeah, they're nowhere near done, but this did make their stock rise, which is kind of annoying, but whatever.
I did see a quote from one investor that was like, "Oh, this settlement makes us feel like all the worst case scenarios are off the table." So in terms of monetary penalties, and I'm like, oh, that makes me feel so gross inside. Yeah. God, that sucks.
It does suck. It's a huge ball of suck, but, more going on.
Yeah. There's a lot still happening. To me, I'm still more excited that the SEC subpoenaed Bobby Kotick than I am that Activision Blizzard.
Oh yeah, dude. Oh my gosh.
For $18 million.
Put that guy on a chair and make him explain himself. That's what I want.
Yeah. Well, now maybe he's sitting in a chair in a slightly smaller yacht. Is that $18 million? I don't know.
Well, that's the other thing is none of these people.
That's only 10% of his earnings.
Yeah. No kidding. 10% of his his firing clause would be nice. He gets $180 million just to leave or something. So, yeah, give us some of that scratch. But anyway, it's an update and an ongoing concern. And we'll discuss stuff like this as it comes up on the show. But today we got a big thing to do, and that's this. It's a whole new world, everyone, as you heard in the intro. It finally came out this week. New World by Amazon Games. They published it. They purchased I didn't write down the name of the developer, and I meant to do that. But they basically, there's a developer who's also named in the game, but these guys are now publishing it. This is their first big major release, although I guess you could count Crucible, which was more of a beta release-ish thing. I guess it kind of came out, but then got yanked back into beta for 6 months, and then it was killed unceremoniously. So this is their third-person shooter kind of thing, and that did not go well. Piling on,
That was interesting news because they were just like, "Yeah, no, we're done.
Yeah,
never mind,
we're out." Pretty funny. I played it too, and it was unremarkable. I wouldn't describe it as bad. I'd just say it's not. I mean, there was nothing about it where I went, "Oh, shift your focus here, guys. Whatever your shooter itch is, it's now being solved by Crucible." That didn't happen. And clearly it wasn't happening for anybody. So they canceled it. Adding to that graveyard, that includes a brawler called Breakaway, which I hadn't heard of. And I'm not sure what they mean by brawler. Could have been a fighting game, I suppose. And Lord of the Rings themed fantasy project, which they have the rights to do stuff with now for both television and Prime and video games, and they scrapped whatever that was.
I am so worried about that television show.
I'm legit.
I am so here for more Lord of the Rings. Please make it good.
Right. I'm with you. If it sucks, I'm going to be so sad. That's how I'll feel about it. And Dune needs to be as great as my brain wants it to be. There's so many things coming up that if they don't nail it, I've been nervous about Foundation.
They're really spinning up the Dune hype train. I've seen so many trailers on YouTube in the last 2 weeks.
I'm so excited. I can barely stand it. Anyway, so this is the, I would call this, despite those other sort of you know, sputters and starts and restarts that they've had as a studio, quote unquote. This is their first big release and proper release, like one that was intended to come out on a certain time or day, despite previous delays, but it happened. And tons of people bought it and tons of people tried to play it. And a lot of people did play it. And a lot of people got stuck in queues, kind of depending on what server you picked. The general rule seemed to be, Taliesin mentioned this as well, but I also noticed that if you're in there and you chose a name that looked at all familiar to you or was easy to pronounce or short, those were the servers you were going to wait behind 8,000 people to play. If you picked a server that was like, you know, ridiculous words that make no sense and hard to pronounce, those servers usually had low to no queue times. So just
literally
saying.
Looked like someone rolled their face on a keyboard and called it a server name.
Yeah, I'm definitely on one of those.
Yeah, I did the same. I also picked a Western server because so AIE has a presence on some Eastern East Coast server, but the queue times were horrible. I think it may have been one of the ones that was like 21,000 people in line at one point, which is that's ridiculous. That is an insane number of people. And I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing this. Plus, they announced they were going to let free transfers happen, you know, a couple of weeks into this so that people can kind of settle with their friends and stuff. So I think that'll all work itself out. But I was like, forget that. I'm going to West Coast server. I'm going to pick a weird name. I'm going to pick one of the new ones. But even then, I got saddled with like 1,000 people the next day in a queue. And so what I did.
I asked you what server you went to because I was like, I don't know. I don't really know anyone playing this, I thought. But yeah. Now everyone I know apparently is playing this game. So I'm on your server. Yeah. I had the weirdest damn experience because, like, during the day, got it, no problem.
Sure. Yeah, got daytime right hours, away. Easy. No problem. Yep.
Start playing. Woo, great, cool. All right, time to make dinner, all that stuff. I log out, go away. I go to queue back in, like, right before dinner.
Yeah.
And it's because you messaged me. You're like, oh, God, and I'm like 800 in place. I'm like, oh, that sounds terrible. Let me go ahead and put my butt in queue so that, you know, after the evening festivities, I'll go back. Maybe I'll be in the game.
Sure.
And it goes 25. I'm like, sweet.
Whoa, what?
I don't know what's wrong with Scott. Are 25 you sure? Sounds great.
What do we Hold know? What we don't know what does why? Why is that?
Oswald once said, "I'm going to take you into Mordor and I'm going to bring you right back to the Shire. Just give me a moment."
Oh, I'm annoyed.
Okay. All right. So, and then it says underneath, it's like it says something about like going into a starting zone. I'm like, oh, is what is it? Light's Hope or whatever? Like, is that like instanced? Is it its own starting zone? Is that why I'm getting in easy?
Yeah.
So I like cool, whatever. I go back to the kitchen and I make dinner. I come back 21. It's been like an hour. I'm like, okay, that's strange. Yeah. So go eat dinner, go watch Why the Last Man. Uh-huh. Almost 3 hours later is when I finally get in.
Wow.
25 to zero, 3 hours on opening night.
So what is that then? Is that a separate queue?
I don't know. I'm confused. That's what that is. I'm putting this out in the universe in case I want to know, did anyone else experience this? Does anyone know what the hell happened? Yeah. Why does it even mention starting zone? Because once I actually like got out of the tutorial, Light's Hope is Light's Hope. It's part of the world.
Right.
So I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know either. That's a really, I remember us having that conversation via text. It's like, oh, maybe there's separate queues and, or, you know, like they want new people to get in quicker so that they're not waiting longer, because if you don't get the new person, then you're not going to get him. If it says 5,000 people, they're going to just leave.
Yeah, but how long did it take you? Did you just give up that night, or did you actually?
No, I let it sit, and I eventually got in. I don't know how long it took, though. It took a while, and it was weird because that night was bad. The next night was better, and then I stopped, and then I haven't played at night since. It's all been daytime, and I'm getting in no problem. I did have a queue.
Yeah, I haven't played at night since that night either. Yeah. So I don't know.
So Jocelyn, your experience in that regard, did you, you know, bang up against a bunch of queuers, or how'd that go?
I didn't. I haven't had any problems, though. I haven't played as much as you two, I don't think. But I just literally chose some server that said, I have no line. You have no friends here, but I have no line. And I went, okay.
Nice. Nice. So, you got the whole world to yourself.
No problem.
Yeah. Did you, what's funny is those worlds still feel pretty populated once you get in them. Like,
there was lots of people. Once I made it to the town, there was lots and lots of people there. And because of the whole free transfer thing they're doing for a couple of weeks, I was like, you know what? I just want to get my character in, start leveling, see what this is all about, and then I can figure out where my friends are once all of these Q shenanigans are gone.
Yeah. Well, one would assume they will be. I did want to throw one quick thing out regarding the Qs, just as a note. It is very easy for everybody to go, wait a minute, this is Amazon. Why do Qs exist? They have the world's largest backbone / cloud service, you know, internet, everything of anybody, like more than Microsoft. Like, they're huge. Why? How is it possible in 2021 that an MMO has Qs? And my answer to that is, and I said this on Core last night, I'll say it again. It doesn't matter. I don't care who you are or what you are on this planet. You can plan for all the capacity in the world for your game, and it will, A, not be enough. That you'll end up being forced to do things like queues as a way to circumvent. And B, you will have drop-off no matter what the game is. Every game has drop-off after a little while. And when that happens, now you've got capacity you're not using. And you can say, well, Amazon makes more money than God. What does it matter? Yeah, but they still see these as valuable assets, and they don't just dump money in the ocean and hope something comes out of it. So I guess what I'd say is that argument has been driving me nuts all week, and I am not an Amazon apologist by any stretch in terms of how they do a lot of things. But this weird idea that this somehow magically server capacity for a massive game launch is going to be nothing but smooth in terms of this population management is a crazy idea, and I don't know why people have that in their head. It just doesn't exist, just like it doesn't exist in life. If you go to get on the plane and they say, shoot, we oversold, we don't have any room on the plane, you might be pissed, but the truth is there's no room on the plane. Like, that's just straight up it. There are limits, and they've added a bunch.
I am offended by that. Don't you dare let airlines off the hook for horrible business practices overselling. Yes. You know how many damn seats are on that plane, and you sold too many. It's basic math. Stop it.
No, you're right. Theaters do this, too. I used to hate it when I go to movie theaters and they oversold it. I'm like, how do you do that?
I have literally never heard of that.
No, I've heard of sold out movies. It never oversold movies.
Is your movie theater run by a 12-year-old? Like,
it felt what? Like it.
No, it's run by an airline.
Yeah,
so no, hey, American Airlines. It's got 98 seats. You sell 98 tickets. I don't know if you know this, but when you have a number, you don't sell more numbers. That's not how numbers work. Stop pretending that's how numbers work.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah. Well, I agree
with
you.
Thank you for coming to my TED Talk.
I agree. It's a terrible thing. But in the case of, you know, in this case where they can scale and they can add new capacity. And I know it's not some schlub down in some basement adding new blades to a server farm. I know that's not how it works at Amazon. But all of that aside, I think that it's the credit where credit is due. The launch is pretty seamless outside of the queue problems. No crashes, no lockups, no major bugs, no game-breaking bugs. Not for me anyway, and I haven't heard any major ones from anyone else. All the complaints seem to be.
Other than the video cards.
Well, melting. Oh yeah, that's right. Is that still a thing, or did that get resolved? Because I know the beta, that was a thing. Is that still a thing, like today?
It's still a thing, yeah. It's some sort of malfunction or like bad soldering that EVGA used on the, like, when they created their video card. So like, if you didn't play beta, there's a chance that, like, day one, you could have like gone into New World and your whole computer just went poof.
I missed the resolution, not resolution, but the explanation for that. Because there was a lot of confusion for a long time about why that was actually happening. And I guess it makes sense now. If the cards are, you know, just wrong.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And EVGA is replacing cards that are affected. But I mean, you have to like mail them your burnt up crappy card and then wait for a replacement, which could be weeks. Right. So
I think in some cases, I think if you buy directly from EVGA, they will like take a deposit on a credit card and send you the card, and then you use that packaging to send your card back. But also, there's such a raging shortage on cards right now. I don't really want to take that risk. Mm-hmm. I don't have a 3080 because they don't exist. And I haven't sacrificed enough goats to my satanic altar in my garage to get one. I have a 2080. I have never heard this thing scream so loud.
Oh, it's
speaking of airplanes, it sounds like an airport when I play New World. Like, it's ridiculous.
See, I put mine on all of the lowest settings and cap it at 30 frames per second, and the game looks like shit.
Yeah.
But at least it plays.
Wow.
Yeah, it is. It is. So I'm enjoying the game. I don't think it's very pretty.
See, now this, all right. Let's,
so maybe it's not my graphics settings this whole time.
Yeah,
I've been playing a different game. So part of my issue, I'm having an issue hitting 60 frames a second. But part of my issue is I have a 4K monitor. The second I drop that resolution down, it runs so much better. Yeah. So I'm playing at like 2.5K right now with basically everything cranked, and it's fine. It looks weirdly like No Man's Sky to me. Like, it doesn't look like a human designed that world. It just kind of looks like, hey, we had plants, and we told a robot to put plants around our world. It doesn't look intelligently designed.
Oh, I don't know. Like, okay, here's what I'll say about the environments. I think it's beautiful, actually. Now, I am running a 3080. I'm running at 2.5 or 1440p or 1444p, whatever it is. So I'm not running full 4K. But I'm running, I ran uncapped for a while, and I was getting 120 frames per second. But here's what I heard. Like that. It was like cranking it up and down every time I'd like turn or whatever. And I went, let's not do that. So I stopped doing that and capped it at 60. Since then, no issues. And I'm running a nice 60 clip, not really having any slowdown. I find the environments beautiful in a way that almost dings it on the gameplay, because there is so much foliage and so much stuff going on in those forests that I actually kind of have a really hard time seeing what the hell I'm supposed to do in there. For example, you know, a quest might be, because crafting is such a big part of this world, a quest might legitimately be, I really do need 5 of these boars and all the skin you get off of them and their tusks, which is usually a very boring thing. But in this case, you actually get something out of it. So I go into the forest and that's great. And the boars are in there, but they're really camouflaged because this world is just full of leaves and wind blowing and everything's super detailed to the point that I lose the, I'm not seeing the mobs that I need to see. And I'm not saying it's a game breaker, because it isn't. I find them eventually. But my experience with the environment was like, wow, this thing. Like, to me, it actually contrasts kind of in a bad way with the character design, because the character design is freaking boring and generic. It's my least favorite thing about the game. They're just a bunch of humans. There's no races to choose from, which is fine. You know, whatever your game design is, that's fine. But it's all humans.
I've described it as I feel like I'm playing a pirate mannequin.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, I saw somebody in the chat room earlier saying they were watching a streamer that spent like 3 hours in character creation. I'm like, how?
Yeah, how?
There's nothing to create. There's like 8 faces.
Yeah.
You can't, there's no like slidery thingies. It's just like.
No, it's less stuff than WoW, and WoW is already pretty limited on its creation.
Yeah, I don't get that. Yeah, it's a weird one to me, because like I don't think it looks bad. I just it kind of has that Bethesda thing where I'm just like, do you have an art director? Is my question, because it doesn't look intelligently designed. It looks like my wife is really into minis. She does a lot of Warhammer painting, and she loves spending time on bases. So she has a lot of that like fake grass and fake sand. And well, actually, she uses real sand. Anyway, all the little fake terrarium type stuff that you use to make cool little mini bases. And when you're not in a town, to me, it just looks like they just threw as much of that crap on the ground as they possibly could. And it's just randomly assorted. And it's just, I don't know, man. It's weird.
It is a little bit weird. I kind of agree with like the way everything's arranged, but there's something about it is working for me in a really weird kind of subconscious way. I'll try to explain this, but it was dusk or so in the world, and I was out in the forest doing something, and I should have recorded all this so we could hear it, but there's ambient sound of other players in various places, very positionally cutting down trees and, you know, whacking on stones and stuff like that to get, to grind up their materials. And there is something about a distant sounding tree chopping and falling that puts me somewhere special. I can't explain it. It's not like ASMR. I don't mean like that, but it's like something from when I was a kid.
Sounds really good.
Yeah. Like that stuff sounds great. The soundscape of the game is perhaps the best I've seen in an MMO in terms of environmental sound. I'm not talking about acting or, you know, music or any of that yet, But just that feeling of I am in the middle of this huge place and I can hear these people around me and I can hear footsteps coming a lot further away than I normally would before they get to me. And there is via or there is a voice, like, what do you call that? What do you call it when you can just talk and if you're close to the guy, you can hear him like in real life, whatever that is.
Proximity voice?
Oh, proximity.
Proximity. Yeah. There you go. That's in the game. I don't use it because people are dicks.
Yeah, but I was going to say, does any normal person use that? Or is it just all the 12-year-olds yelling swear words?
Right, exactly. Like, I could get into, if you had a guild that was like super RP and, you know, there's fun to be had there. But for the most part, turn that the F off. I don't want to hear anybody. but yeah, like there's this feeling of being there that makes me feel very, very immersed, despite the fact that I think the characters are designed as bland and boring. I think that the art style for the characters, meaning like cosmetics and their armor styles and all of that, are just really maybe lean a little too realistic and just are kind of boring. There's just nothing really artful about them. And that bums me out.
Straightforward.
Yeah.
I like the towns. Like the first town you make it to, I'm like, oh, cool. All right. I'm in now. Like I was pretty not sold until I got to the first town. Cause I'm like, this is kind of whatever in terms of visuals.
Right.
But the first town's cool. Like it's very, you know, Pirates of the Caribbean looking, but everything's very, very like straightforward. It's very literal. It's going for this realistic style. But yeah, there's just something about the overabundance of foliage that just like I don't know, I need a lawnmower in here. It's
it really
it's
does
a bit much.
It's very overgrown. But again, I don't know if it's running well. I think that's a big key here. And it's unfortunate the game is such a hog. MMOs. My feeling on MMOs is they shouldn't push everybody's brand new hardware too hard. They should apply to a larger potential audience. People who have older machines should have an easier time getting in there and having a good visual experience. This game really stretches that, and I think that's not great. Like, I know I'm running really, mine's running beautifully. I'm not having any glitches or problems, but I know people are, and I feel bad when everybody's got this spread out experience with that whole thing. But they're so lush, large, and you know, full of growth, like just weeds and trees and rocks, that it is easy to just sort of get lost in there. And that, I both love that and get frustrated by it, because part of me is like, give me a map marker and tell me where the hell the boars are. And on the other hand, I'm like, I got to find these boars because, damn it, they're hard to find. And I'm going to play this game the way it was meant to be. So, I'm, you know, I'm having a little
boars
bit
boars are literally right outside of the gate.
Like, yeah, you like go outside the gate, road. And
boars
it's like,
on your right. There you go.
Well, yeah, it depends. I'm in like a third city up, and up there, they got stuff spread out. And not that it's all.
So you're still going deer. After boars at the third city?
Well, all right. So that's a fair question.
Third city up. Are you the same? I think we're both like level 12. Like I'm still like, I tried going to the next city and I got murdered by some skeleton thing.
Well, so there's three zones right there in the immediacy of where you begin that are 1 to 25. And you can go to any of them. And if you stick to the road, you're not going to hit any kind of weird stuff. That's the thing. The world's not leveling with you. You're, you know, this is a traditional, here's a zone that's full of 1 to 25 content. Here's a zone with 25 to 50 or whatever. So you have to be careful. You're going to get yourself janked or ganked or janked, I guess.
I love getting janked.
Getting janked. Yeah. but it has. So I guess what I wanted to say about the quest, because Jocelyn, you made it's a fair point. Like, wait a minute, you're doing a boar quest in the third city. Yes and no. Like what I did up there is a bunch of story stuff and some other quests that I took, but also the Marauders, the faction that I chose.
I think they just refer to them as factions.
They're just factions, yeah. The Marauders have jobs, and those jobs range from PvE stuff, PvP stuff, group stuff, solo stuff. You just kind of choose these different jobs, and they kind of just exist as almost dailies or, you know, work you're doing to earn favor and rep with these factions. And I often choose like the worky type stuff because I'm going to be out in the bush anyway. So you may as well have me kill more boars. So it'll be like, well, we're all out of, you know, these particular skins and we need a bunch. Go do that. So, you know, there's reasons to do it. The game really wants you. And this brings me to a theory, which I'll share in a second. The game really wants you to engage in its crafting system, which is a thing I don't normally like in games. I will say that thus far, my 6 or so hours into this game, I really like the crafting in this game. And the reason I like it is it's very, it's not very get in your way and fiddly. It's just sort of, here are the recipes. Do you have the stuff? Make the stuff. And then use the stuff, sell the stuff, wear the stuff, whatever. And you can do it kind of from anywhere, although refining stuff have to happen in town. But I do like the way that that stuff is structured. It's very much the core of the game, I would argue.
It borrows, I think, the best parts of like survival game crafting.
Yes. Which I'm glad you said that, because here comes my theory. Everybody get ready for Scott's fat theory. Here it is. I think this game was initially designed or thought to be, when they first were working on it, maybe even well into its development, I think this was planned to be a massively multiplayer survival game. I think they meant to plop people down into a place without much story or anything else, because it still hasn't had much story, and just plop them down and say, all right, you got an axe, you got a bow, you got a sword, go survive and build your shit and do all your things. It was basically like, I don't know, imagine Valheim, but on a massive scale in terms of players. I really think that's what
like
they were doing.
Ark almost, right?
Yeah, a lot like Ark. That's good. That's a really good comparison. Although Ark is, I think Ark is still limited by number of people per server type stuff, because, you know, and they're not building a giant, you know, well, I guess this is limited too, but here we're talking thousands as opposed to, you know, 60 on an Arc server or something. But that's a good comparison. I really do think that's what they were making. And I think at some point there was a shift in direction where they said, people don't like MMOs. They have one thing at the core of an MMO that matters most to people, and that is, am I here with my friends or not? And their design was, well, we're just plopping you down and go for it. That's not the same as like, am I with my friends or not? And I think they had a shift and they went, all right, well, what if it's more like a traditional MMO, but we keep a lot of these mechanics and we keep a lot of what the focus of the game is. And I think they successfully did it. This is not a criticism. I think that this was the right move. This is more of a game I would want to play versus some just big craft-based survival game. I don't like those much, especially not in the long term. I don't mind them early on, but I kind of get bored pretty quick. And I may hear too. I don't know. But I feel like the strength of this game is its mechanics and its minute-to-minute game loops, and it's what I like about it. There's no story to this game. Not really. I mean, here's a clip.
We found this weird place. Enjoy this weird place.
Here's a clip. Right. Here's a clip. Sounds where they cool. give you a little bit of a story, and I'll just play it real quick. Check this out.
The stories you've heard, they don't tell the whole truth. The island is indeed the place of legend. There's power and vast riches as well. But those who've gone before you have simply vanished, never heard from again. I saw the horror, the madness that overcame the crew. It was beyond any evil the world has ever known.
Which is basically translates to, we don't have an actual story, so here's just a bunch of mumbo, you know.
Here's the tropiest of all tropes.
Yeah. Yeah, here's a very vague piece of voiceover. Enjoy.
Yeah.
Which is fine. Honestly, like,
it's fine. It's fine.
Like, when we talked about Elder Scrolls, I don't think I've stuck with it, because I'm just like, if I'm in the mood for an MMO, I kind of don't want to pay attention to the MMO. like that's
right,
kind of,
and it's Elder almost Scrolls forces you to. That's fair.
ESO is the story is too good to scratch my, like, the MMO itch for me. Like, I want to listen to audiobooks and podcasts when I play my MMO, and I can't in ESO because the story is too good.
Yeah, it demands all of your focus. Totally agree with this. This is funny. You and I are on the same page with this, and Jocelyn, I'd love to hear your take on this. But for me, what I wanted here is actually what they're giving me. Tons of mechanics and loops that are fun. That's it. That's all I want. I want a map and I want to clear it. I want to talk to these five people and do the shit they asked me to do, get paid for it, level up, watch my numbers go up, make the thing, have a cooler looking hat. Like, that's what I'm here for. And it's given me that. So people who come to this going, oh, I'm ready for some really thick and rich story. I love what's happening in Final Fantasy 14 story, and WoW story always grabbed me, and boy, howdy, am I ready for that again? 100% this game is not for you, because it ain't there, dude. It's just a big sandbox in a lot of ways. And maybe down the road, you know, you hit level 20, and from then on, maybe it's a big epic tale. I don't know. So, you know, we are speaking a little bit from early game, but that doesn't seem to be the point of the game. So I'm playing this game like I play Assassin's Creed, like I play freaking GTA for that matter. I just want to go clear shit. And it's letting me do that, and I'm enjoying that a lot. Whereas when I play ESO, I'm way more focused on that story. And I like the MMO parts of it as well, but I can't, like you're saying, I can't watch, you know, some TV show in the background while I do it. It just doesn't work with ESO. With this game, I totally can do like 10 other things while I play this game. And it turns out that's kind of what I wanted, and it's really drawn me in that regard. So I guess that's my review. I don't know. Like, I could say I could get way more in the weeds about where it looks like it's headed endgame-wise, which appears to be mostly a kind of planet-side attempt at controlling the map. So your factions will be at an all-time, an ongoing war to control space, and that has an economic impact on you as a player and on your guilds or companies, as they call them in this. And like, there's all that stuff. The PvP seems really robust. I think that's kind of where this is headed, is who controls what and how are we going to turn the tide of the war, sort of thing. But maybe not. Maybe they've got raid plans. Maybe they've got ideas that'll blow our minds there. But as an early game player under level 20, it's the moment to moment, go there, do this, pick up that feels really good to me. I wish fast travel was easier. I like the camp system, except sometimes you build a camp and then get too far from it and it didn't matter that you put it there. Now you can't go back there. Like, it's got some problems, right? Like, it's not perfect in that regard, but the loops.
So if you hold Y.
Yeah. You hold Y, clear your camp, then you make a new camp, and then you're like, I'm out of flint. Go get some flint. And then,
or there's 40 camps,
yeah,
all in the same area, so you just take someone else's camp.
Yeah,
You just go hit E.
Yeah, hit E on their camp, and then it's now your camp, and screw that guy and his camp. But yeah, like those gameplay loops are working for me. Oh man, what? You got to ask yourself, what holds you back in life? What interferes with your happiness? What is it? Sometimes it's hard to tell, right? Well, if you had a friend in your life like BetterHelp, they could help you assess your needs and match you with a licensed professional therapist. Yeah, that's right. BetterHelp will contact you and get you in contact in a safe, private online environment. Very convenient, no waiting rooms. Start communicating with the doctor in under 48 hours, that is. I mean, how fast is that? That's pretty fast. BetterHelp is committed to facilitating great therapeutic matches. So they make it super easy for you to change counselors if you need to. It's free to do that as well. It's more affordable than traditional online counseling. Financial aid is available. They have a broad range of expertise. May not be available in all areas. You may be in a place where it's hard to get this stuff. Anything you share is confidential. There's a bunch of testimonials on the site, so you can go read those. And if you're dealing with stress or trauma, depression, gender identity, anger, or if you're dealing with angry, grief, self-esteem issues, family conflicts, whatever they might be, they're there to help. Start living a happier life today. Get 10% off your first month at betterhelp.com/instance and join over 1 million people who have taken charge of their mental health. That's betterhelp.com/instance for 10% off that first month. Thanks, BetterHelp. Jocelyn, as someone who shares ESO love with you, is this scratching any of those itches for you? Like, are you finding it, the MMO-ness the mechanics of it, are those holding you?
I mean, for now, it's kind of funny because the two other MMOs that I play regularly, one of them I play for community and endgame content, and one of them I play for story. And so far, this doesn't have either one of those things for me. So I'm kind of like, this is interesting and takes some of the good things that I like from other games. Like, I do like the crafting system. I like that, like, you can make 100 things in basically the same amount of time you make one thing. Like, they don't put this like artificial 5-second cast bar on everything you're crafting. It's just like, oh, you want 100? Okay, there you go. You just made 100 timber, whatever. So that's really nice. Like they've got some of those quality of life things. Plus, I also like the same thing that like ESO did, where like you can use any weapon and you can equip any armor and you can make anything. Mm-hmm. You know, you're not locked into one or two professions.
Yeah, I like
so
that.
Like it does tick a lot of my quality of life boxes, I guess, or like variety to let me play how I want to play. I'm just not sure for me personally if there's enough for me to play, you know, like enough of an experience there, because I do normally really like story and I really like gearing up and doing big raids and whatever. That being said, I've had because I knew nothing about this thing going in, like nothing at all. It was something everyone else was talking about. I was like, I don't have time for another MMO. Literally, the only reason I picked it up is because you tweeted from the Instance account on like Tuesday or whatever, like, we're going to cover this on Friday. I'm like, well, I guess I'm getting New World.
Oh, man, that's pretty funny.
I knew nothing. I know nothing. Like, I have the smallest amount of information about this game other than just like my own personal play experience.
Yeah.
And I've had the kind of like end game described to me as if the entire island is Cyrodiil, which is like the center of ESO, the big PvP area where all three of the factions would constantly be vying over it. And they're like, it's as if this whole entire New World game is just Cyrodiil. I'm like, oh, okay, well, that sounds kind of okay. And, you know, might be interesting because I do also really like PvP. I like multiplayer PvP games. Mm. So if I can like tough it out to get to a point where I can contribute to that giant PvP battle, I might really like it. I don't know if it's going to hold my attention long enough to get there.
Well, if you like that stuff, it does seem like they're funneling people to what potentially could be. Everyone always promises with MMOs like big, epic, world altering experience when you get to PvP. Right. But usually it's artificial. It's a little, you know, cosmetic in terms of what you're doing. You're not really affecting the world. But this game promises a bunch of real world effects on the world in the PvP. And I do. Like Planetside, I loved Planetside way back in the day. I never played two, but one was amazing. And you feel like you really made a difference. The idea of hundreds of you storming some, you know, keep and taking it over and making it possible now to control half of the geography in that area and get all the benefits that come with that, and then trying to hold that is a compelling thing. Like on paper, I love that. Will I really want to be engaging in that every day? How much of a grind is it to keep things up? I might have to log in all the time just to make sure the city's still safe. Like, I don't know if I want to do any of that.
I'm a little bit worried about faction balance, too, because as far as it seems, there's no like they've kind of like capped the number of people that can be on a server, and they don't seem to have any like checks and balances in terms of how many people are on it. So like I was talking to my guild and they were saying like, oh, well, you know, we kind of might want to do Syndicate or we might want to do Marauders. And then somebody piped up and said, oh, I'm on such and such a server. There's a really strong Syndicate presence. We could go there. And I'm like, if you're going to a server, it's like going to a server that's like 90% Horde, 10% Alliance. It's a PvP server. It's like, is that even any fun?
No.
Like if you don't have like a 33% split all the time, like you need that push and pull. Otherwise, you're just going to roll over. I mean, I guess some people have fun rolling over people, like, but, you know, if it's just always controlled by the same faction all the time, like, doesn't that defeat the fun and the purpose? And I haven't seen anything that would indicate that they're worried about like faction balance or anything like that.
Yeah, but it's going to come up though, because like right now, and chat's mirroring this, but Syndicate is super dominant on my server anyway, and they're saying it's dominant on most servers. That's a problem.
I mean, it is the coolest one.
It is cool.
I'm sorry, Marauders are literally pirates.
I mean, I like the Marauders.
That's factually incorrect.
Yeah, which is why I chose Marauders.
You just
want to
fight stuff. How original.
I want to be a pirate because I have a thing called taste.
Oh, I see. I see. We could get into the weeds on the whole other discussion about how this is a bunch of like Spanish. It's like the Spanish. What was that called? Were they
conquistadors?
Conquistadors. There you go. And it's all just a little too close to the bone in terms of, oh, a fresh new place full of exploitable resources and possibly native people that we could take over. But I haven't run any of those people yet.
So well, they're all undead zombies so far. So far. Yeah.
But again, I think the original, again, these things have all, I think, trickled down from the original vision, which was, here's a giant survival sim set in the colonial era. That's what I think they were making.
Well, someone in the chat room was saying that was straight up the case. I never
heard
that.
Oh, is it? I never heard that.
And Googling quickly is not revealing anything in terms of facts.
Oh, interesting. Well, I would love to know if that's correct. If they've actually come out and said that, that would be, well, be confirmation of what it feels like in there anyway. But it's just impossible not to notice it. Like, aesthetically, everything looks like it's out of that era. And, you know.
To your point, Joss, of you know, playing WoW for social reasons, playing ESO for story reasons, I think this might be the one I play for combat reasons, because I think combat is the thing I like the most. I think it has the tightest combat of any MMO I played.
It's pretty good. It depends on the weapon I've found. The magic in the game still really sucks.
Okay, so what are you playing that's fun? Because I just went with like the sword they give you off the start, and then I'm like, now I'm like level 7 sword and level 0 everything else. So
I knew how it worked, so I was pretty damn sure I wanted to be an absurd rapier wielder. So I went and found a rapier as fast as I could and just stuck with that.
I'm
going like this kind of counter play, like parry build, and it's freaking fun. I've never done anything in an MMO like it.
Yeah.
I never block, so I just hack and hack and hack and hack and hack.
Yeah, they want you to use that shield or block. You know, you can also use just regular double handed weapons to block, but the shield in particular has longer
no or blocking.
Only
swinging.
Yeah. Only swinging, no blocking. No block, only swing. Do you dodge? Maybe you dodge.
No. No, I swing, and then their health is less than mine, and it's good.
Well, so it is the one.
I like your strategy.
It's not bad. It's the one big difference between this and ESO, because in a lot of ways they share a lot. It's like, this is basically a third person shooter in a way, in terms of controls. This isn't tab targeting like your traditional MMO. This isn't any of those things. It has more in common with ESO than other MMOs in terms of control. But you're right. In ESO, I can kind of, like, you can get strategic, but you can kind of spam at least your sword swings if you're a weapon wielder in that game, and blocking isn't that important. In this game, they do seem like they're not going, you know, this isn't Dark Souls. They're not aiming for that, but they're aiming for something.
I would say it's middle. Like diet Dark Souls.
Kind of, yeah.
It's like my first Dark Souls. Zero. Like the same, people said the same thing about Valheim. So like, if you're going to invoke Dark Souls while talking about Valheim, I think you invoke it here too, because this is definitely more involved than Valheim's combat.
Yeah. I'm a sword and shield guy at the moment, because I'm going against type. I usually go magic, and I just don't think the magic's very good in this game. So I switch between the two. My ranged secondary weapon is an ice gauntlet, which I found and really like. So
this thing sounds cool.
It's cool. You just wear it on your hand and you're just like, you get a little ice swirling around it. When you shoot dudes, you're just firing ice abilities or whatever. So I've been leveling that up for my range. It's usually a pull mechanic, if I'm honest. I'm not usually burning anything down with it. But and then I switch over to sword and shield, and I like the melee combat in it, but you know, it is sort of like, I need to know what this dude's behavior is. If he swings twice every third swing, I need to block for that, or I need to move out of the way when he does it, or whatever. I'm not used to doing that in an MMO. So part of me thinks that will be off-putting to some, Jocelyn. and I don't think that's good. I think you never want the combat to feel, you know, not fun or not welcoming.
I just put all my skill points into my health bar, and it's fine.
Yeah. Just do all health.
My booty just outscales their damage.
There you go. Just wear as much plate as you can.
Joss has opted for the go ham.
Go ham or go home. Yeah. Go ham or go home. I think that's fine. I think the fact that the game is actually playable in that way is also, you know, that makes the game better. But as a result, I think it can just feel like spammy content. And if you're being strategic about it, it can feel maybe a little too strategic. I think they've just got some balancing and some tuning to do there. But I'm with you, Garrett, for the most part. I think I like how it plays minute to minute. I think the jump looks really stupid. I just want to put that out there.
Oh, God, it looks so bad.
It's so stupid.
Oh, the jump is terrible.
It's the worst jump in MMOs. Like, look at all the MMOs you ever played. None of them have great jumps. This is a bad jump.
All MMO jumps look like you've suddenly been pulled up by your shoulders like a marionette puppet.
Yeah.
This one's the absolute worst. Yeah. It literally looks like you threw a mannequin on a trampoline.
Well, yeah, that's the thing, is it's like straight up. It doesn't have any like forward momentum. It's like, oh, you have hit the space bar. You want to go up and down.
Yep.
What is this programming?
It's really bad. It's really, really bad. There's also a prone mode, which is fun for PvP, yeah, but I haven't found any other use for it.
I accidentally turned on PvP. I did not realize that it was
just a keystroke, a single
button
town.
Press. Yeah. Yeah, you press U.
I just assumed it was on
town
all the time.
No, you have to turn it on. It's off.
Yeah,
by default.
No, right before the show.
From everyone. I'm like, they're going to murder me. Oh, they're going to murder me. Oh, no, they're going to murder me.
That's hilarious, because unless you turn it on, they can't hurt you at all. But
Yeah. I definitely accidentally had it on.
So much time.
And now I'm like wondering like how long I accidentally had it on, because right before the show I was like setting up camp. I was like, I gotta cook some food. Okay, all right. And it's kind of far away from town. If I die, I need to respawn closer. So anyway, I'm just sitting there hanging out in my camp, and some level 24 dickhead just murders me dead.
Yep.
And I'm just like, wait, what the hell just happened?
Yeah, and you can't turn it off again until you go back to town. So it's like that WoW war mode.
So I go to Google, yeah, and I'm like, I have read nothing about this game, by the way. I want to go in mostly blind. I did read up on weapons because I found realizing how different the game plays depending on what weapon you're using was really fascinating to me.
Yeah.
So that's how I learned, like, oh, yeah, that's how you basically end up as the type of class that you are, if class is even a thing, which it technically isn't. It's more about your weapon skill and the weapon abilities that you unlock. But That's the only thing I went in and read about. Beyond that, I was like, I had a moment last night where I'm like, how the shit do I why can't I repair anymore?
Yeah.
I didn't realize there was a currency for repair materials.
Oh yeah.
So learned that last day. So I'm just kind of playing, and when I hit a wall, I go and research.
Yeah.
And I've really been enjoying that, because it keeps some mystery to the game. To me, part of the fun of a new MMO is being terrible at it.
Yeah.
Like the sense of discovery, like being stupid, is to me a fun part of a new MMO.
I love that thing where I don't know what the frick just happened, and then I find out, oh, that's part of the game, or you know, I like that.
Yeah, when I found PvP was just on the U key, I'm like, oh my god.
Yeah, it's literally okay, the U key. If you accidentally hit the U key in town, just know that. Know that you may have done it. Check it before you leave town, or else you're
and like
you're
now I know, like, it puts text on the screen, so like. I had to have been on for a while, because I feel like I would have noticed this morning that I tapped you or something while like listing items for sale or whatever. Like, because now that I know where it's at, I'm like, how did I miss that? So I think it was on for a while, and people were just taking mercy on me, and some overleveled jerk just decided to end me.
I like that it was off for Jocelyn and she didn't know it. That's amazing.
And I just assumed it was on. I thought that's what the game was. I just
you see someone just start booking it. You just do that stupid jump off the cliff.
Time. Well, there are people. You can't go very far in that game without witnessing some horrible gang murder. Like, there's people are dying left and right. Like, the PvP mode is real in that game. And if you're not turned on, you can observe some gnarly business. And I've watched roving
games. I only
games
observe gnarly business when I'm turned on.
I walked into that one. What can I tell you? A couple of fun notes here before we wrap things up. The game doesn't let you use any names for your avatars with any variation of Jeff Bezos, which I think is hilarious. Of course, Amazon's founder. But you can't do BEZ0S. You can't do Jeff B. You can't do anything even close to it, or Amazon style names at all. But I saw a guy named Horse Effer, spelled with two C's, and a guy named Poop Gatherer. Like, they don't seem to care about any other names. Like, the convention.
I think I had one that was like Fart Spreader or something.
Yeah.
It's like, oh.
Yeah,
gross.
They're bad. And they have, you can do last names in this game. So,
player character I saw was named Tits McGee.
See? Tits
well,
McGee.
Yeah. They got in early to get that, because it was really hard to get names.
Yeah. Getting names was hard. The last name helps. And that's what I ended up having to do.
Which is I didn't realize you could have a last name.
Well, you just do a space and it. You know.
Yeah, I didn't know it. I didn't know it took spaces, because most games don't let you have spaces in your name.
Yeah, yours was cool, though. It was very 90s. It's basically, without giving it away, it's Rad, but spelled different. Oh, it looked good.
Well, because I couldn't get Rad spelled correctly.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, no. I mean, I can have a pink mohawk and turquoise face paint, so I look like a I look like a background villain out of a 80s gang movie. It's wonderful. I love it.
So that's why the guy, whoever Tits McGee is, probably was going for tits. But then he's like, well, I can't just get tits. I have to say something else. So then he became Tits McGee. And that's why Poop Gatherer couldn't just be poop, because someone already has poop. Horse Effer was probably already, somebody already had Effer, so he put horse in front of it. I don't know. But yeah, it's just a weird thing in the game. And I think it's hilarious how hardcore they are about making sure Bezos's name is not mentioned at all.
I mean,
it makes me wonder what you can do in the game that they're worried about people doing it to Jeff.
Well, you can, I mean, you can control whole cities and affect the tax rates.
You can do all sorts of things that Jeff Bezos would never do, like pay taxes.
That's true.
Yeah, that's true. Every town you walk into, you're told what the tax rate is. And I'm like, man, where is it zero? Oh, I'm sorry. It's only zero at the place who made this game. Got it.
Okay. Yeah. I see
how this works.
Although the other thing that's really realistic about working at Amazon is I haven't found a way to take a bathroom break.
Yeah, right? Do you have to go find a bucket and pee in it and carry it with you in your inventory and just pee when you have to go. So good luck on that. We'll see how it goes. I'm overall bullish on it, actually. I think it's a very cool first release. I think it was a strong first week in terms of game stability. Cues aside, I don't know how you could ask for a better launch. And, you know, this is a $40 game with no subscription, not even an optional subscription. So you pay that once and you just play the damn thing. Who knows what the future looks like? But you want to buy some cosmetics, they'll give you that option. But the game is the game. And for some reason, I like that. I like when the game is just the damn game. Like, just buy it and play it. Subs are fine, I guess, when you need them or whatever. But
And that might be a byproduct of the fact that they're probably, I'm assuming, if they're not, then what? But I'm assuming they're using Amazon Web Servers, right? So
the
fact that they're, you know, kind of using their own tech and their own resources to, and they don't have to pay a third party.
Right.
Probably makes a big difference in terms of how they can monetize.
Totally agree. I hadn't even thought about that, but yeah, like they have all kinds of reasons why they can even be a loss leader with this for a while if they wanted to be. Like 40 seems cheap for your first game. Why isn't this a $60 game?
Well, in a world too where like all these, you know, new console games are up another $10. Like we're up to $70 for a PS5 or a Xbox Series X game.
Yeah, it's 90 for me. Canada.
Or yeah. You know, you can buy a 20-year-old Nintendo game that still, for some reason, has never gone down in price.
Yeah,
or they've just decided to sell for the 17th time.
Nintendo does their
own $40 bucks seems decent.
Yeah, $39.99. It's just kind of insane. And it's now, I think, the number one. Crap, I lost the link to this info. But basically, they were tracking what games had the biggest launch on Steam, like concurrent day one. And they had near a million day one, which is, I think, a record for Steam. So it did well. You know, they made a bunch of money. They did all right. And we'll see how things go. They claim they're constantly expanding so that this queue issue isn't an issue. That already does seem like that stuff's better. Give it a try if it's worth, you know, $39 to find out if it's worth it or not. If any of this sounded like something you don't want to play, I get it. So that's what I'm saying, too. I just want to reiterate this. This is a game that I think a very specific kind of player is going to love. And there are MMO players who are not going to like this at all, because this is basically a hybrid of a survival game, a massive crafting game, and it has MMO stuff in it, as opposed to, hey, Final Fantasy is basically WoW, but with Final Fantasy and all these other new ideas that they've got over there. And it's tab targeting, and it's all these traditional things that you're comfortable with your MMOs. If you're looking for that and story, this ain't it. This is not it. But if you're looking for like great game loops and just getting lost doing stuff and clearing out a map and listening to a podcast while you do it, I think this might be your game. So give it a check. All right. Let's get an email in before we get out of here today.
Hello there.
This is a quick email from Keaton, who sent this in to theinstance@gmail.com. Hello, Instance crew. Wanted to chime in regarding the previous discussion on difficulty and game difficulty. In my opinion, the Divinity Original Sin games are the most preferred way to deal with difficulty. Your options range from story mode, which makes it very difficult to die and is best used to play the game casually to experience the story. Then it gets a bit more difficult with each increased difficulty notch, all the way up to hardcore tactician mode, where you're only allowed to save one slot that is deleted if your whole group dies. Basically, a version of Iron Man. You can go further, too, by the way, and do that difficulty plus Lone Wolf. Basically, you're just one character. That's it. And you make one dude. You give him whatever powers you're going to give him. And that's the best you can do. And you're going to die real soon, is my experience. Anyway, additionally, each notch of difficulty isn't just a blanket increase in your opponent's damage and health like many games. Enemies are given a smarter AI, different skills, which require a change in strategy and better understanding of the game to overcome the new challenge. I love the system because it gives all types of players an option. No one is left out, and the game can be enjoyed at any player by any player at their own pace. Keep up the great work, Instance Crew, says Keaton. Totally agree. That game is great. It's funny you bring it up because I just reinstalled it to fiddle with it. And one of the reasons I do like that game is it lets me kind of choose my own adventure in terms of difficulty. So that's a great example. Either of you play or have played that game? That game's great if you haven't played it.
Tiny bit.
Oh, it's so good. Yeah. You know, Kyle thinks it's one of the greatest things ever made, you know?
Yeah, yeah. I originally bought it to, like, play with him, but we just couldn't get our schedules to work out. So I ended up, like, barely scratching the surface of it. But it is, like, what a amazing kind of version of tabletop role play
in an actual
video game.
Yeah,
like,
it's insane.
I think it's the most, like, playing D&D in a video game I've ever experienced.
Yeah. And those guys are awesome because, well, whatever. I'm looking forward to Baldur's Gate 3 real hard, like, and it's those guys, and I just love what they bring to the table. So that's a big thing on my radar. I refuse to buy it in early access because I don't want half a game. I want that kind of game needs to be done before I play it, and I'm pretty excited. Justin, do you ever play the original Sin games?
No, I haven't. I mean, from the sounds of Keaton's email, I think that this does sound like the best solution, I guess, to the difficulty question we were talking about the other week. But at the same time, is also the most dev work of all the solutions that we talked about, right? If you're going to have, like, different AI and different skills and stuff, like, that's a whole lot of extra work as opposed to, like, a blanket increase in damage and health, like, most games I think go with for a difficulty, right? So I agree, it sounds like this is the best solution, but it's definitely also the most expensive, I would think, from a dev perspective.
Maybe the most difficult.
We got into that a little bit on last episode, which is like, that's a consideration too, like, how was the game even built? What tools did you use to build it? Did the tools that you used, are they conducive to making these kind of changes? Do they have these systems built in already? Are you making your own stuff from scratch? There's a lot of things to consider. But also, like, what kind of game is it? Because, like, I don't know, like, I don't really need this in a Telltale game.
No. No. Well, no one does because they're gone now, but I take your point.
Yeah.
I take your point. Real quick here, if you've got a thought, comment, or anything about New World or other topics that we've discussed on the show, you're encouraged to send those emails in to us, theinstance@gmail.com. We'd love to hear from you, no matter what you have to say. So let us know. All right, before we get out of here and outside of us playing a new MMO, let's find out what everybody else has got going on this week so people can check it out. Let's start with Jocelyn. Where should people go?
You can head on over to Twitter and Twitch, same handle both places, Joss Plays, and also go check out bit.ly/TGI Extra Life 2021. We are raising money for the Children's Miracle Network of Hospitals, and our first stream's coming up in a couple weeks, so I'm stoked.
Oh, man, October. That's the month. That's when everyone does it.
Oh, yeah, we're into October now.
Yeah, it's going to be good stuff. I plan to be there and watch and hang out and donate. So you should as well, everybody. Do check that out. Give them the URL one more time.
It is bit.ly/TGI for the Gamers In, Extra Life 2021.
Nice. There you go, everybody. Garrett, what's going on?
Oh, same as usual. I'd like you to go give a listen to Nexus Gaming News. Which if you want to find it in all its forms, just go to nexusgamingnews.com. But it's on every podcatcher if you search for it, or you can go to youtube.com/amovetv and view it there.
Nice. That seems like a very convenient way to do it.
Yeah. I also rebranded my portfolio website this past week. So go to createwithgarrett.com. It's been rebranded and has examples of my graphic design and my videography work. So if you need me to create something for you, go to createwithgarrett.com.
Oh, look at this. Yeah, I'm there now. Very nice.
Oh, thank you.
Createwithgarrett.com. Okay. Sorry, I didn't know this was here. Now I want to look through it. That's going to do it for today's episode. Thank you all for listening, hanging out with us, and being here. We'll have more next week. Who knows what our topic will be, but you'll have to tune in to find out. Thanks for all the great feedback we've had since the changeover to a more broad discussion in and around video games, MMOs, and more. It's just been great to hear from everybody. You guys have all been wonderful supporters during this, and we really appreciate it, which brings me to my usual reminder that you can become an Instance Plus member by joining over at the website, theinstance.net, and get cool benefits. Some of them are just mailed to you right in the mail. Others are just digital, but either way, you'll find a tier that'll fit you at theinstance.net. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Garrett over there, for Jocelyn, and for all those people who forgot to hit you when they left town. We'll see you next time.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.